We'll be in Genesis chapter 4 this morning. And this will be a familiar passage to you. You learned of this when you were as small as our little ones here in Sunday school. So it'll be a familiar story to you, but I want to go into it this morning. Chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. And we will. I'll just read the first 8 verses. And so it won't be that long of a portion. I see you've risen, so you found your places. We'll begin here. Does the Scripture say, chapter 4, book of Genesis, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." And Lord, this morning, you know the thoughts that you put upon my mind. And Lord, I ask you this morning that you would press me, Lord, that you would bring them out of me, that you would take these things that you laid on my mind and bring them out, Lord, so that we might all, Lord, looking into your word, see your word, Lord, for what it is. See it, Lord, for the spiritual instruction that's there, that we might, Lord, learn of you, that we might more clearly understand your ways. We ask you this, Lord, for we need your help in everything we do. We need it for ourselves. We need it for those that we speak to, that we might speak clearly to them of you. We need it, Lord, for if we are to be bright lights in a dark world, we need your help in every detail. And so we ask you this morning, Lord, please be with us. Move about the aisles, Lord. Keep our attention upon you and our hearts upon you. And burn within us, Lord, with a burning desire for your word, that we might in hearing, Lord, hear. And Lord, that we might understand. And Lord, that we might go forth, Lord, with clarity of thought and soul. And we ask you this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I would preach to you this morning, if I am able, to preach of Cain. And that wasn't intentionally a pun, but if I'm able, I'll preach of Cain. I would like to this morning speak especially of Cain and his destruction. Now, this is a serious topic. It is. Because in preaching of Cain and looking at Cain, we see this first, or I should say, the second great tragedy of the Scriptures. The first being the fall of man, and then the second being the destruction of Cain. And to make that clear, in 1 John, and I'm just going to read one verse to you, then we'll go back to Genesis. In 1 John, John calls off in chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." He says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." Now it says of Cain there, "who was of that wicked one." So the Scriptures leave us no real other way to look at this thing other than that Cain was of the evil one. He was destroyed. I believe that Cain is to this day inside a burning hell. I believe that to this day Cain is suffering an eternal destruction. I believe Scriptures bear that out plainly. There are other places where Cain is spoken of and always spoken as a wicked one, one who chose his own ways over the ways of God. And so I think because of that, and because that Cain is brought out early on in Scriptures, and I think we have as good a record of Cain, or maybe better, than we have of any other sinner who refused the ways of God, I believe that Cain is the one that we're going to study this morning and bring out the things that you can do, if I can preach them, things you can do and still go to hell. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching it this morning. I just know it's what the Lord had on my heart. And I think perhaps it might be that you and I, for I know who I'm preaching this to a congregation of saints, but you and I, as we talk to others, we hear their what-ifs, and we hear their what-abouts, and we hear their statements of self-justification and how that they would proclaim themselves to be righteous. You do what I do. And so I think we need to be clear in our minds that despite what everyone tells us, that you can do a lot of the things that people tell us they do and still yet not be right with God and still yet die and stand before God in judgment and have God Himself refuse you and cast you into a burning lake of fire and there to be tormented forever. So this is important. If for no other reason, even if you know you're saved, it's important so that when others would justify themselves before you, that you not fall into this trap of agreeing with them and telling them that they are justified when they're not. Because there are things you can do which would appear to be right and appear to have you in right standing with God, which are not sufficient to keep a man out of hell. The first thing I would tell you is you can know about God. You can be raised by parents who know God and walked with God. For Adam and Eve knew God and walked with God, and God had talked with them, and Adam and Eve had raised Cain and Abel. And when they raised Cain and Abel, it's very plain, very obvious, that they taught them about how to be reconciled to God. Because Cain and Abel both brought offerings unto God. So they must have learned this from somewhere. Furthermore, they knew what to bring. Cain bought the wrong offering, but he knew it was the wrong offering. So he had been taught the right ways. And by the way, you can see from this that blood for the remission, the offering of blood for the remission of sins was not instituted by Moses, but rather goes all the way back. I believe it goes back to when the Lord Himself slew those animals from which He took the coats of skins which He covered Adam and Eve with. For there was blood that was shed so that man might be covered. And here we see Abel and Cain as they bring their offerings. And so that we know they had knowledge of God. Cain had knowledge of God. And there are many who would tell you that they're Christian because they know all about the Bible. I didn't claim to be Christian, but I remember thinking of that I knew about the Bible and so that I knew about God. And I tell you, a person can know about God and it will not bring them into right standing with God. Do you hear me? So because a person attends a church or the right church or what they consider to be the right church will not bring them to the right place with God. You can know about God and still be damned, still be condemned, still suffer eternal destruction inside of hell itself. You can still die and go to hell even if you know about God. The second thing that I would bring out is not only that they knew about God, but they believed in His existence. Now, a lot of people in our time, I have this thing that they say they believe in Jesus, and what they mean is that they believe He walked this earth. As a matter of fact, a lot of them will go further. They'll believe that He died, believe He was buried, and believe that He rose again. And I tell you, I believed all these things too before I was saved. And Cain believed in the existence of God, believed very much in the existence of God. And because a person believes that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, if they believe in their mind these things, I tell you that's not salvation. And I believe that there's a lot of people deceived in this world and have been deceived by those who have told them that all they had to do was believe the historical facts. And then they pronounced them saved and told them, don't ever believe anybody tell you you're not. But Cain believed in the existence of God. And he believed in the things he was taught about God. And yet we see that he was called a wicked one, and was called, and it was said that he was of the wicked one. James said, the devils also believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe in our mind the things of God and to believe he exists. There's more to it. For Cain himself believed these things, and I'll carry it even further. Not only did he believe in God's existence, not only did he know about God and believe in him, but he also worshiped God. Now we're getting somewhere. Because it says, in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. It mentions that before it even mentions Abel's. He was bringing up a sacrifice to worship God with. I worked in environments where I worked around people and knew them, and I would go to my church on Sunday, and occasionally, and they would go to theirs. But what they went to, what they were doing, and their idea of worship was just simply to go and get some sort of emotional steering and go sing whatever kind of songs, whether it was what I liked or didn't like, with a bunch of other people, hear an encouraging message, and go home. But I worked with them, and I knew them, and they were in adulterous affairs, and they were drunk out every other day, and living in wickedness and sin, and that is not salvation. And there are people who are fooled and have been told and have been deceived and told that if you worship God, just come worship with us. That seems to be the message of the modern church. Come worship with us. But I tell you, if your worship is not in spirit and in truth, it is a mockery, it is an abomination, and it is not acceptable unto God. It must be in spirit and in truth. And I've heard throughout my life that some places have more spirit and some places have more truth. And that is also a lie. You cannot have spirit without truth. You cannot have truth without spirit. But you will worship God in spirit and in truth, or your worship is abominable before God. And there are those who claim to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but with the lives they live, they prove that they know not God and are bound for an eternal destruction in a burning hell. You can worship God and still die and go to hell.
Amen.
Live in a world that's ignorant intentionally, and it wants to be ignorant because it doesn't want to learn of God. Because to learn of God, it knows it must forsake its wicked ways. And it rather chooses darkness than light because their deeds are evil. You can worship God and go to hell. Cain did. Cain very much did. Furthermore, you can talk to God and go to hell. Cain talked to God. Sure did. And I'm going to take these two and put them together. You can talk to God and you can hear from God and still go to hell. And there are people who tell me that they know they're not going to hell. They pray to God every day. And they may. Because again, I remember praying to God before I got saved. I not only believed He existed, I believed in Him enough, I prayed to Him. And when somebody that's lost tells me they pray to God, I don't doubt them. I believe that much of the lost world believes that God exists and prays to Him. I did. And Cain did. Cain not only talked to God, but God talked to Cain. I remember first hearing this pointed out to me by a cousin of mine who had a prison ministry. And he said you'd be surprised, and I've heard this, by the way, from other men who also were in prison ministries. Said you'd be surprised. You go down there and you ask those men, how many of you have heard from God? And you'll be surprised. Most of them will tell you they have. Most of them will. You know what? I believe most of them probably have. Say, God don't talk to sinners. He talked to Cain. You can hear from God and still go to hell. You can talk to God and still go to hell. You can worship God and still go to hell. That's not salvation, people. As a matter of fact, when Jesus went over to Gadara, over there to where the demoniac of the Gadarenes was, and cast out the demons and devils from him, the devils prayed to him and he answered their prayer. And the folks around there that didn't know him prayed that he would leave and he answered their prayer. The only prayer he didn't answer was from the one that he just got through casting the demons out of. He prayed he could go with Jesus, and Jesus told him no. You can pray and still be lost. It's not enough. That's not salvation. And it's not proof of salvation. I can tell you this, and I'm going to have to explain this. You can have a personal relationship with God and be lost. I've heard that all my life. It's about having a personal relationship. You know that phrase is nowhere in the Bible? It's nowhere in the Bible. You know the word relationship isn't even in the Bible? That's man's explanation of something. Let me tell you something. Cain had a personal relationship with God. What he didn't have was the right relationship with God. We've all got a relationship. Strangers have a relationship. They're strangers. That's their relationship. You can have a relationship with God, but that's not enough if it's not the right relationship with God. And you say, well, I have a personal relationship. Who doesn't? He's our Creator. He's got a relationship with everybody. You've got to have the right relationship with God. You have to be in right standing with God. That word right means something. Right means that it's perfect. It means that it's absolute. And by the way, it has to be a perfect relationship with God. And you say, well, I can't have a perfect relationship with God because I'm not right. I'm a sinner. Now you're getting somewhere. That right relationship with God comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus only. Because He's the only perfect man that ever lived. The only pure and perfect sacrifice that was ever given. And if our relationship with God is not through the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're not in right standing with God. And regardless of how much we pray, regardless of what we hear from God, we're damned and we're doomed to an eternal burning hell except our relationship with God be through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The only way. There are a lot of ways to justify yourself. And they will all fail. All fail. It's through Jesus Christ or it's not at all. Cain talked with God. Walked and talked with God. Believed in God. Even requested from God things. And I believe that Cain... I believe that God reached out to Cain. I know He did. When He brought His worship to him and His worship was wrong, God corrected him. Why? Because He loved him. And God can love you and you can still go to hell. The only way that anybody can be right with God is to believe not with the mind, not with the mind, not just believing these things existed and were so, but believe with a committed trust. Believe with a complete commitment that casts everything on Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is your primary way to heaven and you've got a backup way, you've not believed in Him. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in Him alone. It's to trust Him with everything. Everything. The example was given one time of a man on a tightrope. You may have heard it. I may have even said it here. Who had asked the crowd, do you believe I can walk this tightrope across the falls? And at first, not everybody believed, but he would do it once or twice. They said, we believe. We believe you can do that. He said, do you believe I can ride this bicycle across the tightrope? And they watched him and he did it. And finally, he grabbed a wheelbarrow. And he asked, man, do you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across the tightrope? He said, yes. He said, get in. Belief is when you get in. Belief is not standing on the shore saying, sure, we believe you can do it. Belief is when you get in. And real belief in Jesus Christ has nothing to do with believing facts or improbabilities. Belief in Jesus Christ is trusting Him so much you'll get in a wheelbarrow. And believe that if He is not the way, there is none. If He's not your hope, there is none. If He's not the answer, there is none. That's real belief. That's real belief. And anything else goes the way of Cain and to destruction. I pray you're right with God. I believe I'm in a group of people that are right with God. I preach this to you because you're the witnesses to a world that's not right with God. And you're the witnesses to a whole community out there that would justify themselves in every way. And I would, if I'm able to strengthen you, that you might stand in truth to a land of darkness that needs desperately to hear that they cannot be right with God by themselves and by what they do. They must be right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him only. May God grant you not only the wisdom to recognize when you have opportunity to speak to someone about it, but the strength to stand against their self-justifications and proclaim that no, you cannot be saved any other way, but you must believe in Him. I have for you this morning, Brother Craig, if you have a song, if you'll bring it forward, close with song.